I'm so glad he walks with me and talks with me. And I trust that's your testimony as well, that you walk with a Savior in blessed communion. He speaks to us every day. He speaks through his word. He speaks to the witness of his Holy Spirit, and he speaks with his quiet whisper. This morning we're going to be looking at one more of the lost things. We've begun a series on lost things. And this morning is the lost whisper of God. The lost whisper of God. God whispers, sometimes he shouts, but you better be careful, because if God shouts, you're in trouble. But he often whispers to his children, because he whispers wonderful secrets to them. The whisper of God. The question that comes to our minds is, does God really speak today? And many people have said that God doesn't speak today. As a matter of fact, there's some evangelicals that are vehemently opposed to God speaking today. They say God speaks through the Word of God and the Word of God only. We don't need any other word. Well, it's true. God speaks through the Word of God, but the Word of God also tells us that God speaks through His quiet whisper. You remember the story of Elijah. He did all those wonderful battles against the prophets of Baal. Then he ran into the wilderness and he was discouraged. And he went up to a high place, and God put him in the mouth of a cave. And there the Lord tried to speak to him. And there was the earthquake. And there was the fire. And there was the wind. But God was not in all of those noisy things. And then there was a still, small voice. And we know that God speaks to us through that still, small voice. I had an experience not long ago, as I was training three men in ministry. We were coaching them and teaching them some of the principles of pastoring. And in that conference, in that time together, I was sharing some of the things that God was speaking into my heart. And I mentioned that the Lord spoke to me and said, and one of those young men just stood right up. We were in a kitchen and we were just sharing together. He stood right up, got in my face, and he said, "God doesn't speak anymore. Only speaks through the Word of God. He doesn't speak to you or to me. And it's a lie for you to say that God spoke to you. You're in error. God does not speak to anybody." I was taken back. This is a young guy preparing for ministry, and yet he is not teachable. He thinks he knows it all already. And I was flabbergasted, because I've never had somebody get in my face and tell me that God doesn't speak anymore. But one of the other young men that was there quickly spoke, and he said this: "You have made God to be like the idols." And he quoted from Psalm 115, and it says this: "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases, but the idols are silver and gold made with human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes, but they do not see. Ears they have, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they cannot smell. They have hands and they cannot feel. Feet they have, but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them." And what an appropriate response to that. Our God is not an idol. Our God is not a God on a cross. Our God is a living Savior who died and rose again and stands at the right hand of the Father. And He gave us the Holy Spirit so that He might continue to coach us and woo us and lead us in the way everlasting. And so I want to nail home that truth today, that God does speak today. And if He's not speaking to you, maybe there's something wrong. A number of years ago, I wrote the book, my first book, was Spending Time Alone with God. And in the first chapters, I talk about being still so you can hear the voice of God. My son took that book and he read through it. And a couple weeks later, he stood with me and he said, "Dad, I don't think I've ever heard the voice of God." And yet his wife, who is a new believer, hears God speaking all the time. And the Lord instructs her and tells her things, and she does it. She has a wonderful relationship with the Lord. But my son says, "I've never heard the voice of God." And I said, "Andrew, I led you to Christ when you were about 5 years old, so I know that you received Christ as your Savior. But if you don't hear His voice, something's wrong. There's only two possibilities. One, you never received Him as your Savior, so He's not your Savior, and He doesn't talk to you. And I know that's not true. The other is, you don't spend enough time alone with Him to hear His whisper." And he thought about that, and he said, "You're right. I don't spend enough time alone with God." A few months later, I met with my son again, and he said, "Dad, I think I'm starting to hear the voice." He says, "Does it come sometimes like impressions and not really words?" I said, "Exactly. God doesn't speak out loud. He speaks to us in our innermost being." We need to know that God speaks. We need to know that we have a living Savior who speaks to us every day. Atheists mock us and saying, your God doesn't speak, your God doesn't talk, your God revealed himself years ago, but he doesn't continue to reveal himself. And that's foolish. There are many dispensationalists in our day, Christians, who believe that God doesn't speak. I want to argue a bit against that. Because in God's creation, God says even creation speaks. In Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim his handiwork. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech and no words and no sound from them, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. God says, even creation speaks if we're listening. All creation speaks. Angels shout and sing. They speak. They are messengers of God. The stars sing. The hills break forth into song. The trees clap their hands. The oceans roar. The clouds thunder. Wind whistles. Rain patters. And we can go on and on with all the sounds God has created in his world. To say that God himself does not speak is to make him less than even his creation. God has given a voice to all of his creation, all of his creatures. Dogs bark, cats meow, chickens cluck, roosters crow, cows moo, pigs oink, mice squeak, ducks quack, horses neigh, monkeys chatter, birds chirp, snakes rattle, crows call, deer snort, elephants trumpet, lions roar, sheep baa, goats neigh, dolphins click, turkeys gobble, seals bark, wolves howl, rabbits squeak, raccoons chatter, pigeons coo, whales sing, owls hoot, grasshoppers chirp, and parrots squawk. And sometimes they even talk. You see, all of God's creation he's given a voice to. Is it any wonder that God himself has a voice? God has a voice that is not silenced. He is not confined to the book that he has written. He uses that book to verify every word that comes to us. And we should always check any words that we hear from God. Check and make sure they're in agreement with the Word of God. So this morning I want to lay before you the truths that God speaks. We're looking first of all into John chapter 10, verses 1 to 16, and then verses 27 to 30. And I chose this passage because it emphatically says that the Lord Jesus continues to speak to us. Verily, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the pen of the gate, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Did you get that? Underline it. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow because they know his voice. Underline that. They know his voice. Jesus used the figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, verily I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. Got that? They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And then verses 27 to 30. And Jesus answered, I tell you, but you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify of me. But you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open the Word, we know that Your Word speaks. We know that from cover to cover, it is the God-breathed Word of God that is given to us that it might be always before us. Not one jot, not one tittle, not one word, not one sentence has ever changed. For You are the God who speaks, and the sound of Your voice needs to be heard. I pray this morning that You would give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church, that You would give us an understanding that You are speaking today as always, and You want to speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to do several things this morning. First of all, I want to point out that there's a lot of voices in the world. I want everybody to sing a note that I'm going to sing. Okay, everybody, the same note. Hum. Some of you are not singing. Try it. Hum. Okay, you have a voice. That's good. Now we understand that you have a voice. But there are many voices in the world. And you have voices that are going through your head. Do you know that? There's voices that are going through your head right now. Some of you just said, that's stupid. I'm not going to do it. Did you hear it? It goes on in your head. As a matter of fact, your brain is always talking to you. It's always saying something. It's always drawing conclusions. It's always busy doing something. Your mind is busy. Your conscience is there inside of you. It convicts you when you do something wrong, makes you feel bad. You have people's voices around you. We have a lot of politics today. They're trying to bombard us with information, and some of it false and some of it's true. And that gets into our heads. And then we have parents that spoke to us. Do you remember your parents speaking to you? My mother, although she's in heaven, is still speaking to me. When I do something wrong, she's right there to go, you're going to get it. Do you remember your mother telling you things? And your mother's teaching stays with you forever. It's the echo in your head telling you right from wrong. And then there's the internal voices. Some of us have voices that accuse us, have voices that perhaps terrorize us, and some are even schizophrenic, that they have voices that come from outside, and it's not the voice of their own. And then the world's advice, the natural law, science, is in our brains. We've been taught in schools that everything has a cause, and we hear that voice. And finally, there's the devil, and the devil speaks. Isn't it interesting that some evangelical would say that God does not speak, but they readily confess that the devil speaks? Because all through the Word of God, you see the devil whispering. You see him tempting people. So we have all of those things. There are many voices in the world. And out of those many voices, God says He wants His voice to be clear. So Jesus as the shepherd, three things. Jesus as the shepherd speaks. Three ways He speaks. Number one, He speaks through the written Word. Don't err in that. As a matter of fact, just recently we had some so-called prophets on YouTube and TikTok, and they were prophesying that Jesus was going to come again on September 24th. That was during Rosh Hashanah. And it spread all over the internet, all over the world, that Jesus was going to come back during Rosh Hashanah this year. And the man that had this philosophy said, Jesus came to me in a dream and He told me He was coming back September 24th. I have 1 billion to 1% certainty that He's coming back on the 24th. Guess what? Jesus didn't come back the 24th. The man was a false prophet. And I'm glad that he apologized, along with a lot of others that began to teach this philosophy, because they were false prophets. And God says you're not to listen to a false prophet. God speaks to His written Word, and His written Word, He said, no man knows the day nor the hour that Jesus Christ is coming again. As a matter of fact, if Jesus came back on the 24th of September, that would have made Jesus a liar, because He said, I don't even know when I'm coming back. Only the Father knows. So you look at those things with, okay, we need the Word to judge every other word so that we are certain what is true. And then God speaks through the witness within. You have been given the Holy Spirit if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ comes into our life. He comes into our hearts. He takes up residence there by the Holy Spirit. That's the invisible presence of God. He says, I will be with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're a Christian today, you have the witness of the Holy Spirit within you that witnesses to what is true and what is right and what is wrong. And the third one is His whisper. The Holy Spirit isn't silent. He whispers. He tells us things. He reveals things to us. He instructs us in the way that we should go. He guides us. He leads us. All of those things are important. Second thing I want us to see, I think you're following this on the overhead. The Holy Spirit whispers. In the book of John, we find that Jesus is always speaking, and I just read to you from John 10, but all of the passages that speak of the Holy Spirit's work speak of Him as the speaking Holy Spirit. Just want to quickly mention them. He is the Spirit of truth. Truth has to be spoken. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the teacher. He teaches us all things and reveals to us the things Christ taught. He is the testifier. He testifies or witnesses to us that we belong to God. And He is the convincer. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And He is the guide. He guides us into all truth. He leads us and He shows us the way to go. All of that to say, whenever you find the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is the whispering Holy Spirit. Now, I'll give you a homework assignment. If you go to Romans chapter 8, that chapter is all about the Holy Spirit and His work. And you, every time you see the Holy Spirit or Spirit, I want you to put in there the whispering Spirit and see if that fits. And I did that. I've done that with a number of people. And it kind of opens your eyes that the Spirit isn't just a nebulous spirit. He's not a ghost that sits around and does nothing. The Spirit of God is speaking. He's always speaking and instructing us. Now, the third thing I want us to see is how we can hear the voice of God. I've jotted down a few things that help us to understand how we hear the voice of God. The first one is God speaks to us through a thought. God gives us a thought. He's in your mind, He's in your heart, and He can whisper to you and He can tell you things. I was in my first church, and I have the discipline of spending the first hours of the day in my study. At that time, my study was right next to the house, adjacent to the house. And I told Marilyn to keep the door shut. I don't take any telephone calls during this time. I'm with the Lord. I'm in prayer and study. So I'm very disciplined about that. But one morning, I was in my study, and I heard a voice in my mind say, "Get up and drive the car." Now, I looked at that voice and I said, wait a minute, I don't get up and drive the car when I'm in my study and preparing for a message. No, that's the devil trying to tempt me. And so the second time, it came a little bit stronger. Get up, get in the car, and drive. And I said, I'm not going to get up and drive the car. That's going to distract me from preaching. It's going to distract me from my study. I'm not going to be tempted to do that. The third time the voice came, it came a little more sternly. I said, get into your car and drive. And I went, okay, Lord, if that's you, I'm going to get in the car and drive. So I went outside, got in the car, and I started to drive. We were 9 miles from Indiana, Pennsylvania. So I drove those 9 miles. I'm driving into town, and I'm saying, Lord, am I listening to crazy voices? Did you not tell me to drive the car? And here I am wandering around with nothing to do. And suddenly I stopped at the traffic light, and the car stalled. And it wouldn't start again. And I go, that's what I get for listening to voices. So I get up, I pull up the hood, people are honking their horns behind me. A man runs across the street who was in the gas station, and he helped me get the car started. And as we conversed together, he found out I was a pastor. And he said, oh, that's my grandfather's church that you pastor. Oh, I used to go there, but I'm backslidden. I've walked away from the Lord. And I was able to witness to him and share Christ. Within a few weeks, he was in church, and a few weeks after that, he renewed his covenant with the Lord and returned to the flock. Now I look at it, I say, was that God speaking to me? Yeah, because God was leading me to do something I wouldn't have done naturally. I wouldn't have been in the car. I wouldn't have been at that traffic light. And I certainly wouldn't have been happy to have a stalled car. God speaks in unusual ways. Sometimes it's through a voice in our head that tells us what we ought to do. There's another way that God speaks. He speaks sometimes with just one word. Just one word. And it's repeated over and over in your heart. Stop. That's a word you ought to listen to. When the Holy Spirit tells you stop, you ought to stop. Whatever you're doing, stop. I was traveling on the turnpike. I was driving. I think I was alone. I don't think Marilyn was with me. But I was traveling to New Jersey from Pennsylvania. And as I traveled down the road, I saw up ahead there was a lady, and it was raining, and she was on the side of the road and had the hood up, and nobody was stopping to help. And as I drove by, the Lord said, stop. Stop. And I thought, on 76, I'm going to stop on the turnpike? I don't think so. And as I approached closer to her, that voice came louder and said, stop. Help her. So I did. I pulled up behind her and I helped her and we got the car started and everything was smooth. She also found out I was a pastor and she said, "Oh, let me tell you about my life." And she shared her life story and her woes and how her husband was being cruel to her and mean, and nothing seemed to help. So I prayed with her that day. I prayed with her and asked the Lord to solve that problem with her husband and give her peace in her heart. Well, I drove away. Get this. 30 years later, I got a letter from a lady that I had never heard of. I opened the letter and she said, "Do you remember me? You stopped on the turnpike to help me when my car was stalled. And you told me about Jesus and you prayed with me and asked the Lord to solve my marital problem. And I found your name and I knew it was you. And I am writing you to tell you that God answered your prayer. God mended my marriage." Isn't that amazing? That driving down the highway, God says, "Stop, help her," and you do so, and you find out that's exactly what that woman needed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us. He leads us. And sometimes He comes as a picture in our mind. Now, you can have all kinds of pictures in your mind. You need to discern when it's of the Lord or not. You have a picture in your mind. Something unusual comes to mind. We were in Brazil planting churches, and my assistant pastor, my colleague, was with me, and we were doing a prayer retreat. We were walking around the hillsides with high-rise buildings, and we were praying that the Lord would plant His church in that place. And I remember that day, I was on top of the hill. I was standing alone, looking at this vast panorama of high-rise apartments, asking the Lord to raise up His church. And as I looked down, I saw in my mind's eye a church on the corner of that street where the buses stop. And I saw the building, exactly what it looked like. And I saw people passing. And I saw that people were coming to the Lord in that place. And I thought, this is amazing. So I went home and I wrote it down in my journal, what I saw, and actually drew a picture of it. Years passed. We planted a church. Lots of circumstances passed. 25 years passed. I was long gone from Brazil, came back to the States, but I went back for a visit. And my colleague was still there, and he picked me up from the airport to drive me to the church. He drove down that main street, that street that I saw in that little vision or picture in my mind, and he drove past, and he said, he pulled in front of the church, he said, "This is the church that God built." And I looked at it, and I started to cry. I just started to weep. I said, "Steve, that's exactly the church I saw in that hillside vision. The Lord showed me the exact building, the shape of it, everything. God was revealing that He was going to do a great work." Isn't that great? That God does some strange things sometimes, but we need to be attuned to listen to His voice. Sometimes God gives us inspiration or ideas that wouldn't naturally come from us. I could give you several illustrations of this. But my assistant pastor, or my youth pastor in the Grove City Alliance Church, did not have a vision for his ministry. God had given me a vision. I went away for 3 days and fasted and prayed. And God gave me a very specific vision of 10 years, what should happen in that church. So I challenged Paul. I said, "You need to go away, get alone with God, and don't leave until you listen to God." So we went to our elders and said, "Would you send him to Colorado Springs, pay for his airfare, pay for all that he's going to do, and let him spend 3 days fasting and praying." And so he went out to Colorado Springs, found a place where he could get alone with God. And as he registered, they said, "By the way, no food is allowed in this retreat center." So he was stuck 3 days without any food. And if you know Pastor Paul, he needs his food. But he came back and he said, "Pastor Dick, it was amazing." He said, "I've never spent one day alone with God, and I spent 3 days alone with God." And he said, "I started to get desperate, crying out to the Lord, 'Give me a vision. Show me what the plan is for the youth in this church.'" And he said, "Then that third day, God gave me a plan," and he wrote it down. And he handed it to me, and I read through it. And again, I kind of choked up and looked at it, and I said, "That's better than the plan I had for you." Because I had a plan. If he didn't get one, I had a plan. But Paul heard from the Lord, and that plan was executed. That youth group grew from just a handful of kids to over 100 kids. Why? Because he listened to the voice of the Lord. And then sometimes it comes in a dream or someone would call it a vision. I heard a pastor recently talking about his dilemma. He was praying about whether to accept a call to a church in Texas. And he said, "I didn't really want to go to Texas. So he got together with his wife and he said, let's begin to pray about that to discern whether God wanted us there or not. And he said, let's tell no one that we're praying about this. We don't want to upset our church here. So let's just, the two of us pray. Don't tell anybody else. So they began to pray. They prayed for several weeks. And one morning, their daughter came down the steps into the living room. And she looked at them and said, Mom, Dad, are we moving? And they looked at each other and they thought, well, somebody told somebody. And he turned to his daughter and said, why do you ask that? Why would you ask if we're moving? And she actually asked, are you moving to Texas? And he turned to her and he said, why do you ask? And she says, well, because last night I had a dream. And she said, in this dream, I dreamed that, Dad, you were in Texas in a church preaching. And you know that little boy that we're trying to adopt, Hudson? He was there with us. Mom and Dad looked at each other and said, this is certainly the heart of God and the mind of God. And within a couple of days, they got a call to go to that church in Texas. And within the same couple of days, they got an affirmation from the adoption agency that Hudson would be their child. And they took him to Texas with them. And he says, you can't tell me that God doesn't speak. He speaks to a little girl through a dream. He speaks through miraculous signs and wonders. I could tell you many stories about the Muslims that are coming to Christ today. Many of them are seeing dreams and visions of Jesus. One in particular had a powerful dream. He was one of those suicide bombers. He was preparing to come to the United States to wreak havoc. He was an evil man. Yes, he was a Muslim man. He was faithful to the Muslim faith and doing all the prayers, but he was fanatical. And before he was able to get on a plane, they arrested him and found that he had 24 passports with him. He was going to travel around the world and wreak havoc. And so they put him in prison. And he said he sat there in prison for several weeks. And he said he was trying to do his prayers and his pray like the Muslims do. And he said it wasn't coming and it wasn't right. And he felt uncomfortable and didn't know what to do. And then he said one night, there was a bright light in his room. And he said a man walked in. He'd never seen the man before. He said he was in white garments. And that man walked in and stood before him and said, I am Jesus. I am the one you're persecuting. I want you to follow me and be my disciple. Well, he didn't really know who Jesus was other than the reputation. And he said, I'm not sure. But Jesus spoke to him again and clearly identified himself as the Savior who came to save him from his sins. And he said he fell down on his face before Jesus and he confessed his sins and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior and come into his life. And his life was transformed. Today, he's an evangelist traveling around the world, bringing people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus speaks sometimes through visions and dreams. Sometimes he actually shows up. That's quite amazing. You see, God speaks. The Holy Spirit is not silent. He is always doing things that need to be done. Sometimes God speaks to us through, I'll call it warnings, premonitions, or cautions. My mother had that gift, that the Lord spoke to her and often gave her warnings of things that she had no knowledge of. I was on a double date with my brother. We were traveling to another city that was quite far away, and we were going to a Youth for Christ rally, and then we were going out with the girls for some ice cream and hamburgers. So we did that. We went there, and we had a great time, and we started home after midnight. And as we were traveling back roads in Michigan or in Ohio, getting to Michigan, I had a little red Falcon with a six-cylinder, and it didn't have much power. But there was a slow truck in front of me, and I wanted to pass him. So I pulled out in the second lane. It was a two-lane highway. I pulled out in the second lane, nobody coming, and I stepped on the gas pedal. And, of course, that Falcon not being powerful, you go, and I'm passing this guy, and up ahead I see somebody coming around the curve with his lights coming right at me. And I stamp on the gas and try to get it to go faster. My brother starts screaming, we're going to die, we're going to die. And I couldn't get past the car next to me. So in my heart I breathe a prayer, oh Lord, save us. And as I finally threw it in the second gear to get a little more boost, and I spun around that car, and it just barely missed a head-on collision. I tell you, my brother's not one who is emotional, but he was emotional that night. He said, we almost died. And then after a few moments, he said, and Mom's going to know. We got home too late for anybody to be up, but the next morning we were eating breakfast, and my younger brother was sitting there with his cereal, and he was giggling. And we said, what are you giggling about? He said, oh, Mom, she went nuts last night. It was about midnight. We were in bed, and she goes to every room in the house saying, "Hey, get up! Everybody get up! You got to pray for Dick and Mike because they're in trouble." And he said, we rolled our eyes and said, "Okay, Mom, whatever." And they got together and they prayed. Mom got on her knees and she prayed and pleaded the blood of Jesus for us and protection until that burden lifted. And then she said, "You can go back to bed." He said, "Mom's always that way. She's crazy." Mom wasn't crazy. Mom had the sensitivity to hear the Holy Spirit tapping at her door and saying, "I want you to pray." And God does that. It's a wonderful way. And then there are other times when God speaks directly through His Word. I was just a young man, and I had gotten away from the Lord. I wasn't sinning. I wasn't doing all bad things, but I had not loved the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. I wasn't doing daily devotions. I wasn't praying every day. I was just kind of floating along. And yet one night during a missions conference, God spoke to my heart. He had spoken to me when I was 9 years old, and I went forward and dedicated my life to be a missionary. But now I was 16 years old, and I was doing poorly in school. I knew I couldn't get in college, but I went forward that night at a missionary conference, 16 years old. I remember I knelt on this side of the sanctuary, and I wept and I cried. I said, "God, I can't get into college. I'm not smart enough to get into college. I don't think I can be a missionary. I don't have any talents. As a matter of fact, I get poison ivy every year. How am I ever going to be a missionary and go out in the jungle?" Little did I know that God doesn't always call us to a jungle. But I went home that night struggling because my grades, at best, were C and D. And I walked back and forth in my room, and then I got down on my knees by my bed and said, "Lord, I want to hear Your voice. I want to know that You called me. I don't want to just imagine that I want to be Tarzan in the jungle. I want to know that You called me. And so I'm going to do the thing that we're taught not to do. I'm going to open the Word of God, and I'm going to ask You to speak to me. Whatever I open, Lord, You just speak to me." And I don't recommend doing this, because somebody did this, and they said they opened the Word of God, and they said, "And Judas went out and hung himself." And then they thought, that wasn't good, so let's try it again. Flipped another passage and said, "Go and do thou likewise." Not a good thing to do. But in desperation, I said, "Lord, I need to hear from You." And I opened the Word. And immediately I looked down and it said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I'll tell you, I'm a crybaby. I started crying again. I said, "Lord, thank You. I'm going to take that as my promise that You're going to do great and wonderful things. You're going to make me able to go to college and graduate and go to be a missionary." And God did that. I was that CD student, and within 6 months I was on the honor roll and stayed on the honor roll throughout my high school career. God is good. And God loves to whisper to His children. He likes to instruct us in the way we should go. Let me bring this to a conclusion and give you some application. What should you do about this? How can you hear the voice of God? Number one, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you never invited Him to come into your heart and life, He's on the outside of your life. Yes, He can speak to you because He can convict you of sin. But He wants to be on the inside where He can bring you comfort and He can direct you where you should go and what you should do. So the first thing is receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't just accept Him. The devil accepts Jesus. The Bible says he believes and trembles. But that doesn't save him. What saves us is when we invite Jesus to come in. So invite Him to come in, and He will send the Holy Spirit in your heart to be the one who whispers to you. Then I would challenge you to begin getting into the Word every day. See, this is God's Word. It affirms everything concerning His will. And we can trust the Word of God. You can't trust your emotions. You can't always trust what you're hearing in your ears. But you can trust the Word of God. It never changes. So every day of your life, you need to be in the Word. Make a covenant with God. "God, I'm going to read the Bible every day." Again, I don't suggest that you just randomly open it and read. But maybe begin with the Gospel of John and read a chapter a day. And nurture your soul with the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Apostle Paul urges us, let the Word be in you. The second thing I'd urge you to do is spend time alone with God. It's one thing to read the Bible, but it's quite another time to spend time with God. To actually set apart 15 or 20 minutes or a half hour that you do nothing but stand before the presence of God. In my book on spending time alone with God, that first chapter is about being still. Training yourself to be still quiet enough to hear God's whisper. Because with all the other voices that are going through your head, with all the other noise that's in our world today, you're not going to hear God unless you get quiet. You need to push aside everything else and get still. I have a number of people that are reading that book, and they've come to me and they said, Pastor Dick, I'm reading that book on how to pray and how to spend time alone with God. And they said, that first step is the hardest one. To be still and get alone with God. But I want to challenge you every day, get alone with God, now open His Word. And then go into your prayer closet, wherever that might be. And you understand, Jesus told us we're supposed to have a prayer closet. It's not an idea that I created. Before He gave us the Lord's Prayer, He said, this is what you're to do. When you speak to your Heavenly Father, go into your closet. Go into your quiet room and shut the door. I need to say that really loud. Shut the door! That means shut the door of your mind as well. Shut off the music going through your head. Shut off the tasks of the day. Shut off the to-do list that you've got to do. And just calm down. Be still. And know that I'm God. And God will begin to do a new thing to you. And you'll start to hear His whisper. And you'll have that comforting word of the Holy Spirit to guide you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for speaking. Thank You for being a God who is not an idol, silent, aloof, uncaring, unresponsive. I thank You, Heavenly Father, that You speak. Your voice is sweet. It instructs us, it guides us, it protects us. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that You would help each one of us to discipline ourselves, to listen to the voice of God through the Word and through Your whisper. And that we would not lose that ability to hear from the Lord. Bless now, Heavenly Father, as we approach the table of the Lord. We pray that You would minister to us as we serve this communion. In Jesus' name, amen.